Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Podcasts of prior shows are also available there. Just go to local programming, look for Your Financial Choices, and peruse the shows available and the topics that are of interest to you. Today is December 19th, 2018. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 23,323, the NASDAQ at 6636, and the S&P at 2506. Our topic tonight is gifting. How much? When? How? What is a gift? We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C's in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without a delay. Well, we're actually not going to talk live on air tonight. I forgot, because we're having our mini pledge drive this evening. So you're actually going to be calling in to Pledge Central, and you're welcome to make a pledge, make an extra donation, whatever it might be, to help support our cause here at WDIY. We have four or five people in the other room waiting to answer calls. You can also make donations through the website wdiy.org. But if you do have a question, we're also available for that. See, we're here for you. And you just mentioned that you have a question, and they'll pass the phone over to Lori. She'll write it down, and she'll bring it into the studio, and I will answer it. So you can do two things at once. You can make your pledge, or make a pledge, or make an extra donation, and also ask a question. And I did have a couple questions come in through Your Financial Choices through the website this week, and responded directly to those people, so I hope they were able to take those answers and proceed with the information that I gave. And if I think of it, I'll try to look up those questions. I didn't print them off, but that is also an option for questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. The number tonight is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We are going to talk about gifting tonight, and gifts can come in many forms. They can typically, you know, when I was thinking about the topic for tonight for the show, it was gifting, usually to loved ones, thinking about this time of year when people are thinking of gift giving. But of course, those gifts can also be made to our favorite nonprofits and charities. I've done a lot of talking with people about donor advised funds this year, ever since the tax reform and the higher standard deduction. Many, many people are not benefiting from their charitable contributions from a tax standpoint anymore, certainly from a philanthropic feel good, I'm doing a nice thing here, they benefit. But also from a tax benefit, we have been talking to people about various ways to still get tax benefits. In fact, I wrote a whole article on that for the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants, PICPA. CPA Journal. And so there are many ways to give still and save on taxes, even if you're using the standard deduction, and ways that we can bunch deductions and maybe have you get a deduction all at once in 1 year and then use maybe that donor advised fund in subsequent years and take advantage of this big, huge standard deduction we still get. But we will talk about gifts to individuals as well. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But again, if you have questions or want to make a pledge, I count on my listening audience. I hope that you're all financially savvy and understand that supporting an organization like WDIY that brings so much education to our community in so many different ways on so many different levels is well worth that investment. So you can do that at 610-758-8810 or WDIY.org. So when we're talking about gifting, I want to cover tonight, how much do we gift? How much can we gift? What does that mean when we say, how much can I gift? I get that question. How much can I gift? Well, you could gift as much as you want. It just depends on how you might have to report it is in the how much. So we're going to talk about how much, annual exemptions, lifetime exclusions, when should you gift, when might you gift? Do you do it now? Do you do it when you die? How much do you do, or how do you do it? Cash? Do you do assets? What are you transferring? Do you do it during lifetime? Well, when we're talking about gifting, that's usually during lifetime, because when we're gone, then it's usually an inheritance. It's not really, we're not gifting when we're dead. We're, you know, passing on assets through inheritance. I also want to mention at this part of the break as well, Dennis Pappas, attorney Dennis Pappas from Vassiliadis and Pappas was on last week, and we talked about unusual items in estate planning. I think it was a great show, and that is available at WDIY.org. But Dennis shared some additional information with me when he heard I was doing a show on gifting, and I'm just going to kind of read what he said. He said, in addition to tax considerations of gifting, which I'll talk about after I read this, there are also non-tax considerations. So, for example, loss of client control over assets. What if a child is disabled? What if a child predeceases? What if a child gets divorced? What about financial aid implications to grandchildren if making a gift to a parent? What if the parent is sued or goes bankrupt? What if the parent needs veterans benefits within 3 years or Medicaid within 5 years? What if the gift was made and the parent dies within 1 year? There's Pennsylvania inheritance tax ramifications for that. You can use something called an irrevocable grantor trust. This is, you know, probably been around for a while, but really, really you're hearing about it much more in recent years. More attorneys are using this. It's a tax-efficient way to make gifts rather than outright to natural persons, according to an article from Dennis. It's written with a Medicaid slant, but if you take that Medicaid slant out, the reasons for thinking about such a trust is incorporates management assistance, tax, friendly gifting rules. There's some step-up in basis preservation that's there. Principal residence exclusion is preserved. So in addition to thinking about a trust for that, for gifting rules, it also can maintain public benefits eligibility, ability to retain some control over certain assets, like the right to income for life, right to change a beneficiary designation of the trust. So it may be attractive to people who are not Medicaid profile clients, too. So you can have these trusts that you use if you're doing Medicaid planning, but to protect the assets so they're not all, you know, spent on nursing homes. But there's also reasons to use this irrevocable grantor trust besides just the Medicaid protection, all right? But there are any number of trusts that people can use. It doesn't have to be this irrevocable grantor trust. It could just be a regular living trust. Lots of reasons or uses for trust. What we want to get across is that if you are thinking about doing gifting in a serious way, to children or grandchildren or parents or siblings or aunts or uncles or whatever relative or favorite friend you have, you want to make sure you go through all the considerations needed and the consequences of such gifting. I have seen, attorneys have seen, situations where family members are concerned living in Pennsylvania that there's a Pennsylvania inheritance tax and they think they want to avoid it at all costs, so they gift assets away to their children. Well, what I'm going to talk about when we come back from this break is why that might not be such a good idea. The inheritance tax might be a lower tax you're going to pay than if you gift outright to your children appreciated assets before you die. So we'll talk about that when we get back. Remember, the phone number this evening is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can use that to pledge and kind of make an extra contribution to WDIY at this time of year, or give your question to Lori C. and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is our member-supported WDIY pledge drive, our December pledge drive to end the year. Your gift now is essential as we try to raise the money that we need to pay for programs such as your financial choices. The number to call again is 610-758-8810 or go online to wdiy.org. In the studio right now with Lori is Seamus McGrogan, our program developer.
Hi, Norm. Happy to be here. Hello, Lori.
Hi, Seamus.
And we are in the midst, as Norm was just saying, our one-day December drive. So we're trying to do things a little differently this year. This is just a one-day drive. We're asking for your support today as we approach the end of the year. And this is the way that you fund the programs that are on WDIY. So if you're a regular listener to Lori's show, or whether it's All Things Considered or Morning Edition or some of the great music programs, now's the time to show your support and make this drive a success. Fewer interruptions, more of the programs you love. That is the goal for this December membership drive here. 610-758-8810. That's how you can support us, or WDIY.org. And I want to mention real quick, we have a thank you to give out already, an extra gift from Suzanne in Bethlehem. So thank you so much for that extra gift. We'd love to hear from a few more people throughout this hour in your financial choices. Show your support for the great news and information that you get from Lori and what she does here on Your Financial Choices by calling 610-758-8810 or going online to WDIY.org.
You know, Seamus, I do this show because I like to make a difference, especially for people who can't always afford financial advice. And a lot of our listeners can afford financial advice as well. But it's nice that we're out there and able to provide some educational information. And we like to make a difference. I like to make a difference. But I think WDIY likes to make a difference, too. And what a great gift for our members to make a difference back to us.
Yeah, so many people, as the membership and development director, I hear from the members throughout the year. So as we go throughout the year and do the different membership drives, I hear from what the people like to, or I hear what the people like to listen to. And a lot of people mention Your Financial Choices. And I really think it's unique because there really is no other show like this on the airwaves anywhere in the Lehigh Valley. So it's something, have you always gravitated towards doing a program like this, to talking about financial advice in a public setting?
I tell people I'm a frustrated wannabe teacher, and this is the way I get to teach.
That's a good way to put it. You are in a sense a teacher because you cover so many topics. You know, just thinking about the programs you put on this year, what were some of your favorites that you've done?
Well, I do like doing the one on charitable giving. Tax topics are always some of my favorites, and estate planning are my favorites. And again, I think that comes from misinformation. People don't understand estate planning. People don't understand taxes. So that ends up, I think, becoming my favorites because I feel like I'm making a biggest difference in those topics, talking about those. But we try to cover quite a variety. And again, those are available on the website, which is also a great resource for people at wdiy.org.
One of the ways that you can make a difference, your funds go to support having an archive online and being able to listen online and streaming from things like a TuneIn app on your smartphone. This is what your membership dollars go towards. So you could rest assured that we're using your money in a frugal way, in a beneficial way, and that's what we're asking right now in our one-day December membership drive. It's not going to go on too much longer, folks. We're going until 9 o'clock, so if you're hearing us now, it's the best time to give. Please call volunteers or standing by at 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org. And Lori, I'm going to go back to Pledge Central and check on what's going on there.
Thanks, Seamus. I hope our listeners come through for us. So, folks, talking about gifting, you know, regular listeners know I love government websites because there's also always this information and research that's out there free of charge for us, and usually from a trusted website, which I appreciate, the .gov website, and the IRS.gov has information as well, and they had information on gifting. And of course, some of this I know already, but it's nice that it's kind of formatted for us. So when we say what is considered a gift, any transfer to an individual, either directly or indirectly, where full consideration is not received in return. So if I give someone something and they pay me for it, that's not a gift. If I give someone something and they do something back for me, that's not a gift. If I do give someone something and there's no strings attached, no consideration received, then that's a gift. So you have to kind of understand that piece of it. It's also important to understand what is not considered a gift. But first, let me talk about when people say, how much can I give? Where does that come from? Why do people get in the habit of saying, how much can I give this year? Again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, you can give any amount you want. It just depends on what gets reported. So if you don't want to have to report any gifts to the IRS that you've made to any number of individuals, then you can give $15,000 to any one individual without having to report anything. You can give $15,000 cash. You could give $15,000 of property. You can give $15,000 of a security, you know, XYZ or Walt Disney or whatever it might be. You can give $15,000 or less to any one individual and not have to report that on a gift tax return. So that is just kind of an exemption. It's not the IRS doesn't want to be bothered by those kinds of gifts. I could do that to 10 different people. So I could actually gift $150,000 out of my estate and not have to report anything on a gift tax return as long as I did it to 10 different individuals. If I'm married, my spouse and I can do that together. So I could give my husband and I could give $30,000 to any one individual. If I decide to do that to 10 people, that's $300,000. So these are some of the techniques we use in estate planning when we're talking about really wealthy people. Those are the easy gifts to make. Nothing to report. It doesn't cost us anything. If we gift more than that annual exclusion amount, then technically we have to file a gift tax return. Now, that does not mean we're paying gift tax. It just means we're filing a gift tax return. Why do we have to file a gift tax return? Because the IRS says that we each, in our lifetime, can give close to, under today's tax laws, it's almost $11.2 million. It's like 11.18, so it's easy for me to say almost $11.2 million. I gift almost $11.2 million to any individual and not pay any gift tax. That's my lifetime exclusion, and my husband has that too. So technically, we could gift $22 million and not pay a gift tax because that's our lifetime exclusion. Once we go over that amount, then we start having to pay the gift tax. So when we talk about people saying, you know, oh, should I gift? Well, you can gift whatever you want. If you're under those kinds of thresholds, we're not having to worry about a gift tax. But we would file the gift tax return to let the IRS know how much we gifted over our annual amount, because now that eats into our lifetime exclusion. So I used to have a client who's long been passed now, who would gift so much to her son every year. And the lifetime exclusion kept increasing over multiple years. It used to be like 600,000 back in the day. And then it kept increasing 5 million, you know, 3.5 million, 5 million, and it kept going up. And she would keep increasing her gifting to use up her lifetime exclusion. Now, what happens though when you die? The IRS says, if you're going to file a federal estate tax return, we need to look back at all of that lifetime gifting you did to see if you went over your lifetime exclusion. So you have to keep track of all those gift tax returns to see how much you transferred during your life. Because basically what you're doing, you are eating into your lifetime exclusion, but you're also removing the further appreciation on those assets that you gifted. So if I gifted a $300,000 portfolio 40 years ago, that $300,000 portfolio 40 years ago might be worth, you know, $1.5 million today. And that appreciation has been removed from my estate, but that gift amount of $300,000 does come back into my federal estate tax calculation to see if I went over my lifetime exclusion. All right. So that's where people talk about how much can I give? How much can you give without having to file a gift tax return? But how much you can give is unlimited. You just either have to use your lifetime exclusion or start paying gift tax if you go over that lifetime exclusion amount. Folks, speaking of giving, if you want to give to WDIY, today is the day to call. It's that season. We would love it. It really helps the people in our call center over there feel like they're needed and there's a purpose for being here. And the number to call is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, or on wdiy.org. Back to Norm.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
I'm Norm Williams, and this is our WDIY December Membership Drive. We're here to raise money for WDIY to pay for the commercial-free programming that keep you in the know and entertained and that you've come to expect. So please call 610-758-8810 with a gift of a dollar or two per week and help keep the news and entertainment programs, this program, Your Financial Choices, on air. Joining us now in the studio is Seamus McGrogan. Seamus, welcome back.
Hey, Norm. Happy to be here again. It's always fun listening to Lori's show because I learn so much and I'm learning about new things that I never thought about before. So it's great to have a program, a resource here that really enriches your life and gives you practical advice because this is stuff that you will use. And that's what we want to bring you here at WDIY. We want to have something that you could tune into every week and take away something that really will help out your life. And that's what Lori has done such a great job with this past year and the many years that she's been here. So if you rely on that, if you listen to Lori on a regular basis here on WDIY, now's the time we're asking for your support. This is our one-day December membership drive, so we're only running this until 9 o'clock today through In the Tradition, Folk Music with Tom Druckenmiller. So this is your last chance. If you listen to the news and information side of WDIY, it's best to give when you normally listen because then that's like a vote of support for what that program is. That lets us know, hey, there's lots of people out there who want to listen to this and want this to stick around. So please, if you haven't had a chance to make that year-end additional gift or become a member for the first time or just renew that membership that you've been meaning to do and it just is really busy right now this time of year, just haven't had a chance, well, you're hearing our voices now, so what better time? Phone lines are open at 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org. And Lori could tell you all about the benefits of end-of-the-year giving, I'm sure.
That's right. So are you all done, or should I start talking about gifting again?
Let's give the people what they want, some more advice. So.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Seamus. As he mentioned, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And, of course, on the website, wdiy.org, you can always do it online as well. So let's pretend you're in the car, you're just coming home from shopping, you're driving, you're listening to the radio, and you think, oh, I can't do it right now because I'm busy, I'm driving. But maybe your passenger has their iPhone out and their smartphone, and they can go online to wdiy.org. You can hand them your credit card, and you can do it right there while you're driving. It's amazing, nice and efficient. So as Seamus mentioned, what are the benefits? Well, if you itemize deductions, and fewer people are going to be able to do that, but if you itemize deductions, then it could be a deduction for you on your tax return, and you could have some tax savings depending on what tax bracket you're in. For people who maybe are not going to be itemizing anymore, there are any number of ways to gift to your favorite charity. You can either do it with appreciated securities, so even if you're not itemizing, you get the benefit of not having to sell that appreciated security and pay tax on the capital gains. You can donate appreciated security to your favorite charity and get and not have to sell it and report that sale on your tax return. The nonprofit sells it, and because they don't pay taxes, there's no tax burden for you. And then you're saving the capital gains tax at the federal level, and you're also saving taxes on the state level. So that's kind of nice, because ordinarily we don't get a deduction for charities to Pennsylvania, but we do get to avoid the capital gains tax when we're making contributions of appreciated securities to our favorite nonprofit. Another thing I've talked to people about in giving to nonprofits is bunching those deductions. You can do 5 years, 6 years, 7 years worth of giving maybe all at once using appreciated securities. That's an extra benefit into a donor advised fund. You take the deduction in 1 year because the amount is so big, you're over the standard deduction in my little story here. And you get the benefit of tax savings. I've done this with a number of clients. Today, I talked to one about it. We're just going to do it for 5 years, charitable giving of, I forgot what it was. I think it was about $8,000 a year times 5 years is $40,000. He had some appreciated securities. Put it on the tax return, saved $8,000 of taxes. Boom, right there. So that's taxes that they would not have saved had they just done their normal giving over the next 5 years, because they're below the standard deduction in those cases. I had another client, just a more minor charitable gift that she was doing, and I think it saved a couple thousand. So it can vary, and it's really interesting to see and watch those numbers. You may not be on time to get it done before year end this year, but you could still do something like that next year as well. So that's nonprofit giving. Of course, we like you to think of WDIY in your gifting as well. Small contributions are as good as big contributions. Could be thousands of dollars, or it could be hundreds of dollars, or $100. And that's at WDIY.org or 610-758-8810. We talked about what's considered a gift. We talked about the annual exclusion is $15,000. We talked about the lifetime exclusion of $11.18 million per person, each of those. We talked about filing a gift tax return. But there are some ways to gift that you don't have to report at all and don't factor into that annual exclusion. So let's say I wanted to give my daughter $15,000 and I give her $15,000, but she's also a student in college or maybe a grad program. I can make a tuition payment on her behalf, and it's not considered a gift at all. At this point, my daughter, by the way, is 28. She's not my dependent anymore, so it would be a gift. But if I do it to a college to pay her tuition, that's not considered a gift. So tuition payments are not considered a gift. Medical expenses that you pay on someone's behalf, again, this is directly to the institution. Those are not considered gifts. That's a great way for grandparents to give money to their children or grandchildren. Gifts to your spouse are outside any of those exclusions. You don't have to. Gifts to the spouse are unlimited. And gifts to political organizations for their use. I didn't realize that one. I just read that one. In addition to this, gifts to qualifying charities are deductible from the value of the gift made. So we were just talking about nonprofits as well. Sometimes people will say, oh, I got a gift from mom. I got $15,000. How do I report that on my tax return? You don't have to report it either. Remember, I said the annual exclusion, the gifting, you don't have to report it. But let's pretend mom and dad give you $15,000 of an appreciated security. So they hand you their Amazon stock worth $15,000 that they only paid $1,000 for it. And you say, hey, I heard it on Lori's show, $15,000 gifting, no one has to report anything. Well, you don't have to report anything for the gift. But if I take the $15,000 of stock that I got from mom and dad that only has a cost basis of $1,000 because they bought it like years and years ago, and I sell it now, guess what? The cost basis they had is now my cost basis, and the holding period they had is now my holding period. So if parents owned it for more than a year, it's long term, and if they paid $1,000 for it and I sell it for $15,000, I have a $14,000 long-term capital gain. I do have to pay income tax on that. All right? So this is going to be important when I talk about when do you want a gift? Do you want a gift? And what do you want a gift? When I come back from the middle break here, I'm going to talk about why we sometimes don't want to gift appreciated property or appreciated securities, because there could be consequences to that. Again, I hear about this all the time with parents saying, hey, we want to gift our house to our children. We want to gift this land to our children because we don't want to pay inheritance tax. We're going to talk about what happens when someone dies and why you might not want a gift during your lifetime. Folks, the phone number is 610-758-8810. If you have questions, just call, ask for Lori C. She'll write down the question and bring it in to me. That's 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert on WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Your Lehigh Valley weather, briefly, it's currently 36 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, goes down to 27 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, in the morning, it's cloudy. Rain moves in the early afternoon. And then overnight, heavy rain moves into the area. High tomorrow, 46. Low tomorrow night, 43. There's a flood watch in effect, so please plan. The rain is expected to go into Friday, so please plan accordingly. We've had an awful lot of wet weather in the past few months. We're here in our December membership drive, this one-day drive where we are seeking to raise funds to continue to support the programming here at WDIY and end the year with fiscal strength. And in the studio right now is Seamus McGrogan, once again joining Lori to talk about the fund drive.
Thanks, Norm. Yeah, I'm bouncing back between our call center and the studio, and I would like to have another thank you, but unfortunately I don't. But it would be great if you listening out there called right now with your support. It could be an end-of-the-year gift. It could be that membership renewal that you've been meaning to do. Or if you've never given, now is a great time to do that. Volunteers are standing by, and giving now during our December one-day drive will help us out tremendously as we go towards the end of the year and keeping us secure, like Norm was saying. Volunteers are standing by at 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org. If this is the time of year you make a point to give generously to organizations that make a difference in your life and in our community, consider a tax-deductible contribution to WDIY. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month for the year will go a long way towards keeping WDIY strong and independent for another year. And it's a great value when you consider that it will help pay for the hundreds of hours of listening of the programming that you enjoy throughout the year. That number again, 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org. Lori, it really is incredible the value that we get from just a $10 or $20 a month contribution.
Well, and two, you know, we do our bigger fund drives in the spring and in the fall.
Sure.
And this is just a nice small one. So we really, it's kind of that time of giving when we expect that people are thinking of those things around them that are treasured. And we hope that WDIY has become treasured to them as we are here and staffed mostly by volunteers who have treasured their time, but choose to spend it here. And it really is kind of an affirmation by giving, and especially during your financial choices, because I love my listening audience. They have such smart questions. And I chose to be here at this studio. I mean, I was on a different station. I'll be here. It was 9 years in September, but I chose WDIY because you have a sophisticated listener. You have a smart listener. You have a listener who wants to be informed, which I just thrive on that. I love it. But we're all here volunteering and, you know, it's just kind of a nice affirmation.
We are very lucky to have you and your financial choices, Lori. The program really does inform and entertain and inspire people out there. So It's great. We would love for you to support us right now. Next time I come back, I'd love to have some more thank yous. We have a half an hour left in the program. So please show your support now for our December one-day drive at 610-758-8810 or online at wdiy.org.
Thanks, Seamus. Folks, we're back to Your Financial Choices. And again, this is your host, Lori Siebert. We are taking questions, so you don't have to be shy about calling in with questions, because you can just call in 610-758-8810 and say, I have a question for Lori, and they'll pass you over to Lori C., and she'll write the question down and bring it in to me. Again, that's 610-758-8810. When we talk about gifting, from my perspective, it is also really part of estate planning. And I've done a number of shows on estate planning. But when I talk to clients about estate planning, I typically follow an agenda, and we talk about their goals. You know, is it asset preservation? Are you looking for tax savings? Do you want to transfer your wealth? Do you want to maximize your living expenses? And in order to kind of see if we can meet their goals, we also have to understand what assets they have. What are their financial accounts? What is their real estate, their life insurance, their personal property? Are they expecting any future inheritances? So then when we understand their goals, we look at what they have. Then we say, well, who do you want to gift to? Who are you talking about? Are they related? What is the relationship? What's their ability? If you're to give them this money, what are they going to do with it? Are there better ways to gift it or not? Do you want to do something in trust? Do you want to do it outright? Do you want to do it into an education account, a 529 account? Love those for gifting. That's a great strategy to use. And sorry, I dropped my pen and I can't seem to think anymore. You want to look at any unforeseen circumstances, like would you make a gift to your daughter who's married to a no good husband or something? Maybe you don't want to make a big gift. So we would want to look for unforeseen circumstances. Do you expect a divorce? Do you expect, are there special needs issues? Then we talk about, does it make sense to do lifetime gifting? So let's go back to my example of the stock. If I give $15,000 of stock with a cost basis of $1,000 to my child, and then they turn around and sell it, they pay the capital gains tax. Maybe they're in a very low tax bracket, and that works out very well. Well, how old are they? Maybe they're in a low tax bracket because they're a minor child. Well, then they would have a kiddie tax. And guess what, folks? The kiddie tax has changed under tax reform in 2018 and forward until there's another tax reform. The kiddie tax is at the estate and trust tax rates. The estate and trust tax rates get up to about, 35% at $12,000 or something like that. We're talking about very high tax rates very quickly. The capital gains tax rate for estates and trusts, which would be the kiddie tax, is zero to the extent you're in that lower tax bracket, but then it goes up to 20% when you go up to the top tax bracket. So you have to be really careful on your assumptions of what you think is going to happen, because it's not always what you think is going to happen. You have to understand this. If you make a lifetime gift of appreciated assets, the donee gets your cost basis and your holding period. If they sell it, they would have capital gains and capital gains taxes. If, however, you don't really need to give that to them, you just thought you were going to save inheritance tax, because God forbid you'd have to pay inheritance tax when you die, so you decide to transfer everything during your lifetime to avoid it. What you find out when you die is, yes, your assets would be included, that you own when you pass away, those assets that you control in Pennsylvania as a Pennsylvania resident for Pennsylvania, your assets here. If your kids are your beneficiaries, the inheritance tax rate when we're transferring assets to our children is 4.5%. 4.5%. Well, Lori, so this $15,000 Amazon stock, now you're telling me there's a 4.5% tax, but hey, I got this capital gains tax rate too because I had this appreciation. Well, that's not exactly the story. What happens is there's a step up in basis in that stock. if this is in an individual account, you own it when you die. It's not an IRA. It's different. Those have different rules. This is a brokerage account, or you hold it directly with the company or through a transfer agent. I have this stock. It gets a step up in basis to my date of death value. So if I had that Amazon stock, it's worth $15,000. It gets a step up in basis of $15,000. My daughter inherits it. I pay a 4.5% tax rate on the $15,000. She sells it the next day at $15,000. Zero capital gains tax. She sells it for $15,000. Cost basis is $15,000. And guess what? Long-term capital gains. Because when you inherit assets, it gets that step up in basis, and it also gets a long-term holding period. So what does it make sense to pay? The capital gains tax during lifetime if you transfer those appreciated assets and you know your kid's going to sell them? Or is it better to hold on to them until you pass away? They get a step up in basis. So the bottom line here is, before you do any kind of gifting, you really want to do planning around it. You want to make sure you understand the implications of whatever you're doing. You want to understand what your goals are. Because here again, maybe you're going to need those assets. You don't want to go away gifting away things thinking, you know, you're worried about taxes. You gift everything away and your no good kids take off and spend all the money and put you in a, you know, the county home or something. And you thought you had enough money to live, you know, nice in your final days. So you really want to understand your goals, because guess what? You could still give, you know, assets to your kids when you die. You just want to be careful about the planning. So frankly, from my standpoint, estate planning and gifting go hand in hand. They're part and parcel together. You want to look at all of these things. It all makes sense. What are your goals? What's the inventory of your assets? Because guess what? There might be better assets than other assets to give kids. Let me talk to you about gifting for a second. Here's an idea. Something that I had happened. Someone came in. They came in with their attorney. They wanted me to sit with them before they signed off on their documents. Well, the will said $1 million to my favorite church, and I'm going to change up the story here just a little bit. $1 million to my favorite church and everything else to my children. And I knew that this person had $1 million IRA. The lawyer knew that the person had $1 million IRA. Well, if you were paying attention to the earlier part of the show, when I said nonprofits don't pay income tax, if the nonprofit received the $1 million IRA and cashed it out, they pay zero tax. And guess what they get? $1 million. If instead of giving $1 million of cash to my charity in my will and $1 million to my children who do pay income tax on an IRA, if they're in, let's pretend there isn't a 25% tax bracket anymore. Let's say it's a number of children and they're all in the 22% tax bracket. 22% of $1 million is $220,000. The kids walk away with, $780,000. The charity gets $1 million of cash. Let's switch that up. Let's give $1 million of cash to the kids. They get $1 million. And give the charity the $1 million IRA. And guess what? They get $1 million too. So you have to understand what kind of assets you have. You have to understand which kind of assets do you want to give to people, and who are you giving to, who are you giving them to, and what's the relationship? All right. Maybe you were planning on giving assets to a beneficiary that was not a child, that's not a 4.5% beneficiary. Maybe they are a 15% beneficiary. Then that might look different when I'm talking about whether or not you want to hold on to assets to get a step up in basis. There's lots of things to consider. And then, of course, if you are giving more than the annual exclusion, that gift tax return you have to file. And what you report on the gift tax return is who you gave the asset to, when you gave the asset to them, the fair market value of the asset on the date of the transfer, and the cost basis of the asset, and how much of your lifetime exclusion you're using. So let's pretend I give $20,000 of stock to one person. I'm over the annual exclusion by $5,000. The IRS will tell us if I'm giving $20,000 to someone, I first can use that $15,000 annual exclusion, and then I'm only eating into my lifetime exclusion by $5,000. That's where we start tracking it. And then the next year, it accumulates and it includes the prior year gifts. And then subsequent years, and it all gets, you know, comes back. So that's the gift tax return. It's a 709, a 709 for filing the gift tax return. And again, a lot of people still think they only want to do that annual exclusion amount because they get nervous that they have something complicated to do beyond that. A gift tax return is one of the simplest things to file. There's really, well, it can be complicated. It depends. But for stuff like that, that was a simple example. When you start getting into multi-generations, we call that generation skipping, then that does get complicated. Then there's something called the generation skipping tax, which also has that same lifetime exclusion. But you want to make sure you're filling out a gift tax return proper for that. So you definitely want to seek counsel on that. Folks, I love being here. Love listeners who are tuning in. If you haven't called in, let's try to end with a big hurrah the last 15 minutes. We're just trying to get a little Christmas cheer or holiday cheer, or whatever it might be that you celebrate this time of year. But it is the time of year when people are thinking of gift giving. Why not think of WDIY? The phone number is 610-758-8810, or you can go online at wdiy.org. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY, Allentown, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Your financial choices. You know, WDIY, with your financial choices, fulfills your need to know about what's going on in the financial world and how to navigate all of that stuff. That's why you listen. That's why we're asking for your contribution right now at 610-758-8810. I'm Norm Williams, and we count on listeners like you for the money we need to pay for the kinds of programming that we do here, the news programming, the community affairs programming, all the music programs, all the equipment that it takes to run those things. It's just a major thing, and not to mention our terrific staff that are here. So you can do your part by calling right now with your contribution to 610-758-8810 or give online at wdiy.org. Seamus McGrogan's back in the studio joining Lori. Seamus, how are you?
I'm doing great, Norm, and we have an update. We want to give a thank you to Richard of Phillipsburg, New Jersey, an extra gift.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it.
So we are moving along towards being well-funded as we approach the year. That's the point of this end-of-year December membership drive. It is a one-day drive, so we're only coming to you for this day until 9 o'clock through in the tradition. So if you're hearing my voice now, it is the perfect time to give because you won't miss any of your financial choices advice. So phone lines are open. Volunteers are standing by. Please help us secure WDIY as we go into the new year so we can continue to bring you this great programming at 610-758-8810 or going online to wdiy.org. Do more than just listen. Become an active participant with your public radio station here in the Lehigh Valley through a contribution to help support programs like Your Financial Choices. 610-758-8810 or online at wdiy.org. I'm going to head back over to our call center, and I'd love to come back with a thank you before we go into our music night.
Thank you, Seamus. I would love a couple more, too. That would be really great. Thrill me. Leaves me. Helps me leave the studio happy when I feel like the listeners have come through for us. You know, I take it as like a personal thing here. So listeners of Your Financial Choices, please call in at 610-758-8810. But they're also watching the website, wdiy.org. So if that's easier for you to do as well, you're welcome to do that. You can listen and be online at the same time. That's pretty cool. 610-758-8810. Questions are also available there too, but I was really happy to see a couple questions come through the website this week, Your Financial Choices. You know, usually we're getting the calls during the shows, which is wonderful. It's my favorite thing, actually, when people call in with questions. And because I love questions, I love getting challenged, but it's also when we learn like new things and sometimes what you want to listen to, like Richard from Phillipsburg who called in, you know, we try to cover some topics from New Jersey as well. But Richard, if you ever have an idea of something you'd like to hear about, you can certainly send that through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com as well. Because New Jersey has some of their own nuances as well with inheritance tax. It's nice in New Jersey because inheritance tax to lineal children up and down is zero, unlike Pennsylvania where it's 4.5%. But they do have higher inheritance tax rates for siblings and other non-related parties. So sometimes people forget that there is actually a New Jersey inheritance tax. What they did do away with just recently was the New Jersey estate tax, and that applied sometimes to even estates where all the assets were going to children. There still could have been an estate tax, and that was very archaic. It was based on 2001 tax rules. So they did do away with that, but there still is a New Jersey inheritance tax as well. I want to mention a couple other things to keep in mind about gifting. For people who are powers of attorney for their elderly parents or elderly aunts or uncles, if you're a power of attorney, and let's say mom and dad or mom or dad or aunt or uncle or grandma and grandpa traditionally made gifts every year to, you know, the family. Maybe they did $10,000 gifts, $11,000 gifts, $1,000 gifts, whatever it might have been, but they regularly made those gifts. And now they don't quite have the capacity. You have a power of attorney. You may be able to make those gifts if the power of attorney provides for that in that document. But it may also say you can't do it. So it really is important to review powers of attorney for those loved ones that maybe you help and support. Maybe they're getting on in age, but they're still cognizant. They still have their faculties. You might want to say, hey, Auntie, do we need to review any of your documents? Because, you know, there were some changes in recent years to Pennsylvania's power of attorney. Certain powers have to be kind of specific in nature. That might be something we want to, you know, take a visit to the attorney's office to review to see if we have the powers that we need. If you become incapacitated and, you know, need things done, maybe we need to look at that. So you want to check to see if the power of attorney allows you to do gifts. You can't always assume that. Back in the day, there were powers of attorney I saw that said no gifting. Some of the powers of attorney say gifting in the matter in which I was doing during my lifetime. Well, if you have their checkbook and you kind of can understand or see or trace that, you might be able to see what they were gifting. But you also then maybe weren't going to write a check to yourself for $100,000. You got to be careful because other beneficiaries might call you on that and require an accounting of what you did as power of attorney. So you want to check on that. The other thing I wanted to mention is sometimes people will change the asset titling on things. They might add a joint owner on a bank account or a brokerage account. That is gifting in essence. When you add a joint owner, it's like you're giving over half the account. So you want to be careful of that. Number one, you want to be careful of that for your own estate planning because maybe you don't want to give someone that power over half your account. Maybe it's not really your intention to do that. You thought you were just being smart so that it would make it easier to administrate at some point. You can do that in other ways. You don't have to do it through asset titling by putting a joint owner on. You can either use the power of attorney. You could use a trust. Or if you're really worried about saying, I want to make it easy for someone when I pass away, and I just thought joint owners was the way to do it, you could do that through a transfer on death designation as well, TOD or POD, payable on death. So you really need to understand what are your goals for gift giving to individuals, loved ones, institutions, charity, nonprofits, non-relatives, whatever it might be. You want to make sure that you understand who it's for and how you're doing it. Don't make assumptions. And, you know, it's funny because I will say to people, they'll come to me and say, oh, I trust you because I heard you on the radio. Well, I tell people, don't trust people just because you heard them on the radio. Because sometimes what you hear isn't always the right information. You hear things, you know, in snippets on the television and snippets on the radio and in snippets talking to your neighbors or your girlfriends or your guy friends at breakfast on, you know, Saturday morning when you're all at the diner. And people are talking from their own perspective. Sometimes their situation is very different than yours. And you don't always have all the information. It's like when people say, oh, yeah, my friend's account, they're amazing. They've just had great gains on their accounts. Well, that's usually because people only talk about when they have gains. They don't talk about when they've lost money. I've had people say, well, so-and-so told me I could do Social Security this way, or so-and-so told me we would save money by doing it this way. You don't always have all the facts. You don't always have all the information. So we've talked about annual exemption for 2018 and 2019. It's $15,000 a year. If you do want to make a gift to a 529 account, a college education account, if you have children or grandchildren and you want to do that, and as a Pennsylvania resident, you do get a deduction on your Pennsylvania tax return. Whether you make that gift or contribution to the 529 that you own, or the 529 that maybe your children own for your grandchildren, all you need is the beneficiary of the 529 Social Security number and name, and you can do up to $15,000 per beneficiary of that 529, but to the extent that you have income. So let's pretend you make $30,000 but you have this, you know, cache of assets and tons of money, and you really want to help out your niece or your nephew or something. If you have $30,000 of income and you have four nieces and nephews, you want to do $15,000 each, that's $60,000. Well, you're not going to get a deduction for more than your income. If your income is only $30,000, you're only going to be able to take a deduction for $30,000. All right. So you want to, again, be smart about when you're doing those deductions and how much you're doing. But if you do want to do a contribution to a 529, what, as far as the gifting rules say, is that we actually can do 5 years at once and have it count not more than the annual exemption. We do have to file a gift tax return to show that we've donated 5 years worth. So 5 times 15,000 is 50, and 25 is $75,000. We would file a gift tax return and check a box to say we're doing 5 years to this 529. We do have to survive the 5 years, but then we're not eating any of that lifetime exclusion either. So that's a special nuance. But the big benefit for Pennsylvania residents is that deduction for the 529. You just want to make sure you match it up with the income that you have. And that income doesn't have to be wages. It could be interest or dividends or capital gains or rental income or business income. Whatever income gets reported for Pennsylvania purposes can offset that deduction. That's a real win. That's a really nice benefit. And again, it does not have to be for your 529. You do not have to be the owner of it. Anybody can own it. You just need the name of the beneficiary of it and their Social Security number. So that annual exclusion, $15,000 2018 and 2019. Lifetime exclusion is $11.18 million. And I think that's going up in 2019, but I haven't memorized that number yet. When can you do gifting? You can do gifting whenever you want. I'm just recommending that you do it as part of a good estate plan, and don't just do it off the top of your head, because there may be a reason to do it now, but there may be a reason to say, I don't need to do it now. My kids can inherit my assets when I die, or my friends can inherit the assets, or I can let it all go to charity when I die. Whoever you want to go to, you can decide when you want that to happen, but it's gifting during lifetime and it's inheriting when you're gone. Again, how you can do it with cash, you can do it with appreciated securities, you can do it with personal property. Some people give real estate. I'm not a fan of that. There's a lot of reasons not to. You can do land, whatever it might be. Again, I think it's really important to get good counsel here, your attorney, your financial advisor involved when you're trying to make big gifts like this. And just make sure that before you do any of it, that you make sure you're taking care of yourself and taking care of your own situation. Sometimes people are doing it to impoverish themselves so that they qualify for Medicaid if they end up going into a nursing home. There is a 5-year look back, so you got to be careful with that and especially seek out good advice. I think Dennis and I might have done a show, and I know Vasiliadis and Pappas has seminars on that, and they have more information on their website. You can listen to any of those shows where Dennis has been a guest on prior shows to get information on those seminars and their website, etc. Folks, I just want to end tonight with saying, you know, happy holidays to everyone. I really do love WDIY. I love supporting WDIY. I hope you do as well, my listeners who have been so wonderful and supportive in our past drives. And we still have time tonight if you want to contribute. And that's through the website WDIY.org if you want to do that online, or 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Next week, we're going to have a pre-recorded show. I won't be here next week, but I hope to be here the next week. And I want to thank Norm for being here, Seamus for being here, the whole crew out there in the phone room. Hope we're getting some calls at these last seconds. And remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. And stay tuned for Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music coming up next.